This is the last day of this June 2015 seven-day sesshin. And we're going to take up another koan today. And this is from the Blue Cliff Record. We devoted most of the teshos, the sesshin, to commenting on the texts by letters by the author of the Blue Cliff Record, Yuan Wu. And this is number 73 in the Blue Cliff Record. Basso's Four Affirmations, 100 Negations. I'm going to, the names get more complicated in this, the Chinese names, than most, so I'm just going to stick with the Japanese versions of these three Chinese masters. A monk said to Grand Master Basso, "Independent of the four propositions and the 100 negations, tell me plainly the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West." Basso said, "Today I am tired and cannot tell you. Go ask Chizo about it." When the monk asked Chizo, Chizo said, "Why don't you ask the master?" The monk said, "He told me to ask you." Chizo said, "Today I have a headache and cannot tell you about it. Ask Elder Brother Hai." When the monk asked Hai, Hai said, "At this point, I don't understand." So the monk went back to Basso, told him this, who said, and Basso said, "Chizo's head is white, Hai's head is black." Now there are three characters in this koan. The first is the illustrious Grandmaster Basso. His actual Chinese name was Ma Zu. It means horse. Recently we read biographical material about him, a recent sesshin this year. So I'm going to pass on reading it again. But just to say that he is one of the greatest of the greats, and one of the earliest of the great Chinese masters. He preceded all these other ones whose names we hear so much about, Joshu and Rinzai and Umon and all. In fact, at the time there was this this saying that Ma Zu and Shuto divide the world between them. He had 139 enlightened disciples and a great, great legacy. To say that a teacher has a lot of enlightened disciples isn't necessarily a measure of greatness. And in this case, we have to accept the wisdom of our tradition, and that he was, this Ma Zu or Basso was absolutely legendary master. But it doesn't necessarily take any wisdom or skill to pass people on their koans and declare them enlightened. There are contemporary teachers who have, one in particular I'm thinking of, who cranks them out just, you know, every year there are more, and it would be a big mistake to consider many of these Dharma heirs as enlightened. One of this teacher's own Dharma brothers once said, "It seems that he'll sanction anyone with a pulse." So it's very difficult for a student to assess these kinds of things. So much depends on the discernment and the standards of the teacher. The great Joshu, we read yesterday, had just 16 enlightened disciples as compared to Madzu's 139. Anyway, two of Madzu's enlightened disciples, two of the 139, were Hyakujo. In this koan, they use the kind of the nickname High. So Hyakujo is High, and vice versa. But that Hyakujo was one of them, and this other one was Chizo. We also read fairly recently about Hyakujo. I'm going to just read one famous dialogue between Madzu and Hyakujo, or I should say, I'll stick with the Japanese, Basso and Hyakujo. One day, Hyakujo accompanied Basso. One day, Hyakujo accompanied Basso on a walk. A flock of wild ducks flew past them. Basso said, "What's that?" Hyakujo said, "Wild ducks." Basso said, "Where'd they go?" Hyakujo said, "They flew away." Basso then twisted Hyakujo's nose so hard that he cried out. Basso said, "So you say they've flown away?" And upon hearing these words, Hyakujo attained enlightenment. Then he went, he returned to the attendants' room, and the Hyakujo was crying loudly. And one of the other attendants asked Hyakujo, "Are you homesick?" That gives you just a little peek into what we never read about these monks. Because to become ordained as a monk in ancient China meant to leave your home and never to return. These were human beings after all. "Are you homesick?" Hyakujo said, "No." The attendant said, "Did someone curse at you?" Hyakujo said, "No." The attendant said, "Then why are you crying?" Hyakujo said, "The master twisted my nose so hard that the pain was unbearable." The attendant said, "What did you do that offended him?" Hyakujo said, "You go ask him." It's not what you think. So the attendant went to Basso and said, "What did attendant Hai do to offend you? He's in his room crying. Please tell me." The great teacher said, "He himself knows. Go ask him." The attendant returned to Hyakujo's hut and said to him, "The master says that you already know, so I should come here and ask you." Thereupon, Hyakujo laughed out loud. The attendant said, "A moment ago you were crying, so why are you laughing now?" Hyakujo said, "My crying a moment ago is the same as my laughing now." We could say, "A moment ago I was crying, now I'm laughing." By the way, the dates of Basso, Madzu, were the 700s, and so of course it was the same for the other two. Um, And then the third guy, Chizo. Chizo is 15 years younger than Hyakujo. Again, Chizo and Hyakujo, or Hai, are both disciples of Basso. But Chizo definitely the younger. And that's not to be ignored in terms of understanding what's going on with this koan. Oh, let me just give you one more teaching statement by Hyakujo before we leave Hyakujo. A monk asked him, "How can a person gain freedom?" Hyakujo said, "If you attain it at this moment, then you've attained it. If you can instantly cut off the emotions of the self, the five desires and winds of attachment, the greed and covetousness, the pollution and purity, that is to say, all delusive thoughts, then you'll be like the sun and the moon hanging in space, purely shining. The mind like wood and stone, thoughts spared from worldly entrapments, like a great elephant crossing a river, engulfed in the rapids, but taking no missteps. Heaven and hell can't pull in such a person." When he says, if you can instantly cut off the emotions of the self, this does not mean suppress them, deny them. It doesn't mean deny them. It doesn't mean pushing them away. To cut them off just means to not cling to them, not wallow in them. And we accomplish that, we effect that by just returning or staying with our practice in the midst of the emotion. There's nothing wrong with the emotion. We just get into trouble if we try to suppress it or cling to it. How do you neither suppress nor cling? Through just absorption in this no mind that we call mu, this, the breath. Oh, yes. Okay, one more then for Hyakujo. This is a short one. We read it earlier in Sesshin, but it bears repetition. Zen Master Hyakujo entered the hall to give a lecture. When the monks had assembled, he suddenly leaped off of the Dharma seat and drove them from the hall with his staff. Just as they were running out of the hall, he called to them. When they turned around, he said, "What is it?" Hyakujo was also famous for, probably most famous for, having established monastic rules and regulations. Until his time, until he did that, these monks were just sort of loose aggregates of monks who came and went, and he gave structure to these monasteries, order to them. We know that Zen has no quarrel with structure. But consider what that really means. Structure, and certainly this is true of Sesshin more than any other place, structure, if we can move with it, structure gives us the freedom to forget about how we're going to do things, or what we're going to do, or when we're going to do them. It's in order to free the mind that we have all this external structure. It frees us from choices, our preferences, our likes and dislikes. Wynton Marsalis, the jazz trumpeter, said, "There's no freedom in freedom, man. There's only freedom in structure." And now our third protagonist, Chizo. His actual Chinese name is Shi Tang Zhizang. He was as we said, a disciple of Basso, Mazu. All of this I'm reading from Zen's Chinese Heritage, edited by Andy Ferguson. When young, he had an unusually noble appearance. You know, just to interject something here, when someone's posture is aligned, there is such a nobility to it. It manifests our nobility, our Buddha nature. He had an unusually noble appearance. People said that he would likely be an assistant to the Dharma King. That means a servant of Buddha. He became ordained at the age of 25. He went traveling and finally arrived to train under Basso, Matsu. And together he received Dharma transmission from Basso, together with Yakujo. And this is something I just learned this morning. Among Chizo's numerous disciples were the Korean monks Jilin Daoyi and Hongshe. I tried to find out how they're known, and I couldn't find out who these guys were. But I do wonder whether Jilin is a transliterated form of Chinul. Chinul was considered sort of the father of Korean Zen, and we've read texts from him, Amala Sensei and I. Anyway, so these two transmitted Zen to Korea, and there they helped to establish the Nine Mountains, which means the nine prominent schools of Korean Zen. So this Chizo, although we don't have much about him, had quite a prominent role in Zen. First, these two brother monks, Hyakujo and Chizo, Hyakujo said, "I want someone to go and tell something to Chizo." Wu Feng said, "I'll go." Hyakujo said, "How will you speak to him?" Wu Feng said, "I'll wait until I see Chizo, then I'll speak." Hyakujo said, "What will you say?" Wu Feng said, When I come back, I'll tell you. This is instructive. It suggests that this other monk, Wu Feng, who's going off to speak to Chizo, had no idea what he was going to say to him at that time. No, he wasn't there yet. He wasn't rehearsing anything. He was trusting that when he reached Chizo, he would know what to say. And it would, for it to be authentic, it had to be of that moment and not rehearsed. This is not to say, don't make an absolute out of this in terms of going to Doksan. There's a place for getting your what you want to say kind of a bit organized, but not overly, not scripted. Then it becomes something that's really not going to bring the same results as when it's... It doesn't have to be eloquent or even very articulate. Authentic often just means you're just fumbling to put it together. I've read in a book about the Japanese that they don't trust politicians who are too articulate, too eloquent, because they believe that they can't be really genuine if they have it scripted ahead of time, or if they're too clever with words. It's remarkable, one of a thousand remarkable differences between the Japanese and our people of our own country. Imagine not trusting a politician here if she or he was too articulate. There's more. There is more here in Chizo. One day, Basso dispatched Chizo to deliver a letter to the national teacher. The national teacher asked him, "What dharma does your teacher convey to people?" Chizo walked from the east side to the west side and stood there. The national teacher said, "Is that all?" Chizo then walked from the west side to the east side. The national teacher said, "This is Basso's way. What do you do?" Chizo said, "I showed it to you already." Even if there was some similarity to Basso's way, Chizo made it his own. And there are no thoughts in the mind, it's your own. One day, Basso asked Chizo, "Why don't you read sutras?" Chizo said, "Aren't they all the same?" Basso said, "Although that's true, still you should do so for the sake of people later on." The implication being people you'll be teaching. Chizo said, "I think Chizo must cure his own illness. Then he can talk to others." Basso said, "Late in your life, you'll be known throughout the world." Chizo bowed. So the very suggestion from Basso that he would become a teacher had him reveal the humility that a teacher wants to see in a prospective teacher, a student who's a prospective teacher. I think Chizo must cure his own illness. Then he can talk to others. Zen Master Dogen said, when Dharma does not fill your whole body and mind, you think it is already sufficient. When Dharma fills your body and mind, you understand that something is missing. No true teacher would think that she is finished in her work. If so, he or she shouldn't be teaching. Dogen also said, you only get it when you're halfway. If you've gone all the way, keep going. Here's another one. After Chizo became abbot of the Western Hall, a lay person asked him, is there a heaven and hell? Chizo said, there is. The layman then asked, is there really a Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, the three jewels? So this, I would think that this layman is testing him, to ask such a rudimentary question. Is there really a Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, the three jewels? Chizo said, there are. The layman then asked several other questions, and to each, Chizo answered, there are. And then the layman said, is the master sure there's no mistake about this? Chizo said, when you visited other teachers, what did they say? The layman said, I once visited Master Jingshan. Chizo said, what did Jingshan say to you? The layman said, he said that there wasn't a single thing. Chizo said, do you have a wife and children? The layman said, yes. Chizo said, does Master Jingshan have a wife and children? The layman said, no. Chizo said, then it's okay for Jingshan to say there isn't a single thing. That the layman bowed and thanked Chizo and went away. Now we'll go back to the actual case. Go on. A monk said to Grand Master Basso, independent of the four propositions and the 100 negations, tell me plainly the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West. The four propositions, you can look it up, but I'll save you the trouble. It's being, non-being, both being and non-being, and neither being nor non-being. So it's Buddhist philosophy. And the 100 negations, I don't know. But the point is, without lapsing into discursive talk, without drawing from Buddhist study or philosophy, tell me plainly the meaning of Bodhidharma is coming from the West. What is ultimate truth? What is it? What is this? What is Mu? So Basso replied, "Today I am tired and cannot tell you. Go ask Chizo about it." So the monk ran off and asked Chizo. And Chizo said, "Why don't you ask the master?" The monk said, "He told me to ask you." Chizo said, "Today I have a headache and cannot tell you about it. Ask elder brother Hai." Remember Hyakujo. Hai means Hyakujo, who was 15 years older than Chizo. So then the monk compliantly went off and asked Hyakujo, "Hai." And Hai said, "At this point, I don't understand." The monk went back to Basso, told him of this, and Basso said, "Chizo's head is white, Hai's head is black." First, just a little cultural note about this white head, black head. This is from a folk tale, a Chinese folk tale, about two robbers. One wore a black hat and the other one wore a white hat. And just to cut to the chase, the black-hatted, the one with a black hat, outdid the white-hatted one by stealing from him. So the one with the black hat outdid the one with the white hat. Chizo's head is white, Hai's head is black. It's not that hard to get a general kind of intuition about the truth of Zen that this koan reveals. But to what degree? It's true of all koans. One can demonstrate a koan satisfactorily, that is, showing that there is an adequate understanding of it. One can go on to the next koan, but it does not at all mean that one has exhausted the koan. Hakuin, even in his late years, said that there's still koans that he was going back and finding new insights into. What is the truth? What is Mu? I'm tired today. Oh, I've got this pain in my hip. And I don't know. These words from Gertrude Stein: "There ain't no answer. There ain't gonna be any answer. There never has been an answer. There's the answer." I have an acquaintance I know through my fitness club, who doesn't know anything about Zen, but he is sort of plugged into popular culture, and he laughingly said once, "I have three all-purpose phrases that seem to work in any situation. The first is, It is what it is. It's all good. And whatever. There's another koan where the nub of the koan is Ummon saying, every day is a good day. This too, we can get a general feeling in our body of what his point is. Obviously, it's not that a kind of a happy face take on life. But to really deeply understand that koan, every day is a good day. Everything is what it is. There's a line in a verse in the Mumonkan where Mumon says, the failure is wonderful indeed. People might hear that and think, okay, failure is good because it gives us something more to work with. It prompts us to not be complacent, but to keep working. Okay, yeah. But it's so much more than that. The failure is wonderful indeed. Just as it is. There's nothing we can say that is a mistake in the universe. There's nothing that somehow is this our true nature is this illimitable, an unfathomably vast whatever with nothing is outside of. But accept this particular failure or this mistake, this falling short of what one hoped to do. No. No. There's nothing outside this intelligence, capital I, that we call our original mind. There is nothing that is not the functioning of this original mind. Our enlightened nature, our own enlightened nature. Often it may be years and years before we can appreciate how wonderful the failure is. But it's still wonderful. Time is up. We'll stop and recite the four vows.